Now to summarize everything that we've made comments about in Psalm 6, I'd like to go back to this reprise or this refrain here, "But thou, Lord, how long?" We've got ourselves in the frame of mind here that the saint shouldn't have to be put to this. The saint should have everything together. The saint should be smooth sailing. Everything go right for the saint, and everything, you know, he's above chastisement or reproof. He's a saint, in other words, right? He's above all this. And it's so hard for us to consider anyone else as a saint here, because we see them with their flaws, and we see their, all the little things there. The better you get to know these people, the more flawed you get to know them as. It's the people we view from a distance that we don't know much about that we hold as saints. But you read these men's diaries, and you read their biographies and autobiographies, and you read the church history, and you read the Old Testament, you read the New Testament, you read the book of Acts, you read the letters of Peter's or of Jude's or of James, or, you know, you read what these men put themselves through, what the Lord put them through, what it took to advance the Lord's banner forward on that field of battle. How the Lord was fruitful through these men, but these men suffered at the same time. It should be encouragement for a troubled saint. If you're troubled today, you're going through this, you know, not to be short-sighted with God's manifold purposes, to receive your own chastisement with humility and in supplication and petition for his mercy. To receive the enemy's insult is natural and to be expected. To receive the Lord's rebuke of the masses is necessarily and potentially cleansing, and that we're not above the Lord's rebuke of the masses. In fact, we're probably going to be most affected by it, right? And to pray for the quick turning of hardened hearts. Now, there's many people that, you know, you think, what will it take for people to believe in Jesus? What will it take for them to turn their hardened hearts? You think of Jesus and all the wonderful, splendid things that he did while he was here, all the healing and all the wonderful teaching, all the miracles, all the wonders, all the tremendous things, you know. Him butting up against the self-righteous Pharisees and those that were his many enemies. And being very gracious in the meantime, and very calm, and very, you know, a couple of times he got angry and turned the money-changing tables over and stuff like that. But next thing you know, he's in the temple healing people, and, you know, people are crying out. What's it going to take for people to turn their hardened hearts? Well, apparently not all that goodness, you know, not all those wonders and all the people aren't affected by that. I mean, in fact, it turns them the other direction. They believe in him less because of all the miracles and everything that he's done. Well, what about the judgments and the persecutions and the, you know, the travail and everything? Well, you know, what about bondage and captivity and everything? Well, apparently that doesn't, because they just go marry into the captors' families, and they just, you know, take on their businesses, and they just, they seem to adapt, you know? It doesn't seem to have anything. What about the threat of the final judgment? Does that convince anybody? Is anyone's heart softened because of, you know, the potential of judgment, and then the whole idea of no matter what you're doing, no matter how good and well-intended or how noble or anything, it all being nothing but vanity when it comes to the end here, without the ultimate hope of there's something being above the sun, something beyond this life here, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the ultimate personalization or personification of resurrection and new life and eternal hope and this living water that never shall thirst, that'll rise up within us as a spring everlasting. Without these hopes here, does that have any effect on any of them? No, not really. It just hardens them even more. So it should be discouragement. And this, how long, O Lord? It should be discouragement for the wayward sinner, because we have a history of the ungodly life, and that history precedes you. That history tells me all about, you know, what you're most likely to do, how your hardened heart's going to be even hardened, more hardened. You know, the more I talk about this, the more I present to you, the more it's probably just that's the history. We've got generation after generation after generation. We've got about 4,000 years of recorded scriptural history here of how people have reacted to this, and it's not very good. So why should it be any different for you? We've got to, you might believe you have the better calculation of things, you know, that the way you see things as being right in your own eyes, that's better than the way I see things as being right in the Lord's eyes. Have nothing to do with what's right in the Lord's eyes. But thou, O Lord, how long? It might seem encouraging to you because we're going through this, but the how long is going to be answered. It's going to be this long. It's going to be precisely this long. You know? And when it comes, and when it comes suddenly, it'll be known that, hey, it was that long. Hey, it's not a question saying he's never coming, but thou, O Lord, how long? It's a question as to when will it? We know it's coming. We know it's going to happen. When does it come? It should be discouraging. God has a manifold and eternal purposes. You may be smart enough to figure out one of those folds, but it's manifold. What God's got planned out and how he's operating with all this. He's got his purposes. They're eternal, not just temporal purposes. They're eternal purposes. And there you have it. So in all things, even in the saint's troubled soul, the ultimate glory belongs to God. And there's encouragement for the troubled saint right now. If we're walking a mile in a real saint's shoes, we can look back on these saints and realize that their hope was not in vain. The Lord was able to use these men. The Lord continues to use these men. Even hundreds or thousands of years later, we still read about them. We're still inspired by them. We have the same hope as they do. We've got a like precious faith to them. Thanks to Scripture. Thanks to the Holy Spirit. Thanks to the vivid imagery that Christ has given us of himself and his plans and his purposes and of his Father. We now see and know better his Father, who we didn't know without Christ. We couldn't see without Christ. So how to end in this consideration today? Let me draw your attention to Romans 16, verse 25 through 27. This is what Paul said to the Romans. He said, "Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever." Amen.